Yes, Uncle. I think you're right,
Al said, shaking his head. Wait, do you know what's happening? Felix asked. You said you'd share info with me. Our deal is still ongoing, is it not?
Uncle snorted at that, reaching into his coat pockets.
I suppose it is. It's the end of the world,
Al said, catching several snowflakes in his hand.
It would appear the religious heads have been coerced into starting the end times. The end times for multiple religions.
How does that have anything to do with snow falling?
Faith asked.
Because that snow is passing through the dome, Al said simply, which means it's beyond the realm of the divine. I would seek shelter if I were you.
Uncle flicked something out toward the wall of the building, and a spiraling blue portal opened. Glaring at Faith and Felix, Uncle said nothing, but he was clearly waiting for Al.
Good luck,
Al said simply, nodding his head.
I hope to see you when it's all over, but the rules are the rules.
Walking through the portal, Al vanished. Uncle took several steps to the portal and stopped just outside its edge. Clearing his throat, the man shrugged a shoulder.
This world is fucking toast. Hunker down and wait for the dome to fail if you can, Uncle said. Won't last forever. Try not to die. You're mildly interesting.
Then he stepped through the portal and vanished.
Chapter 34. The End Begins.
Right. If they're getting the hell out of here, we need to as well, Felix said. Shouldering his SMG, Felix set off at a quick trot back to the entry point for the Legion rail. Faith passed him by quickly, her movements swift and compact. It was a wonder to watch her. She's actually really athletic despite her build.
Felix shifted his gaze from Faith to the alley they'd have to dive in to get to the sewer. Ducking around the corner, the Dryad warrior took it at the same speed, her rifle coming up to her shoulder as she went.
Feeling like a slow-ass turtle given how far she'd gotten up ahead of him, it took Felix several seconds to catch up with her. Turning the corner but having to drop speed, Felix saw Faith levering the manhole cover out with one glowing green hand.
And incredibly strong. These Dryads are just too much.
Dropping the manhole cover to one side with a clang, Faith peered down into the sewer. A dark hand lashed out from inside the shadowed interior. Dodging backward with inhuman reflexes, Faith almost got out of range in time. Black claws raked across her chest and stomach. The impossibly long arm whipped back into the sewers, dark smoke rising from it. Stumbling to her rear, Faith lifted a hand and checked herself. There were long gouges in the Legion body armor. The trauma plates underneath looked cracked, as if hit by an incredibly strong force. Wheezing, Faith rolled to one side and crawled over to Felix. Reaching down, he got his arms underneath her and hauled her to her feet.
Are you all right?
What the fuck?
Faith got out between pants.
It felt like a dragon punched me.
Okay, got that part, but are you all right? Felix asked, starting to undo the body armor to get a look at her.
I'm fine. Stop it. Didn't break. Through the armor. Just winded.
Faith said, hunching over. Nodding at that, Felix spun Faith to one side and started working at the webbing on her hips that held her grenades.
Felix, what are you doing?
Faith asked, now bent over in front of him.
Getting your HEs. Going to pop the pins and drop them down the chute. Whatever that was can enjoy a pineapple salad.
Before he could get the first one pulled free, Felix turned around to what sounded like someone walking behind him. Then he was bowled over, as if he were nothing more than a doll. Looming over him was Miu, her lower torso crushed and her intestines hanging out of her like a sweater unraveling. Faith lifted her rifle, but before she could do anything, Miu had backhanded her, sending her flying and tumbling away. The Dryad slid to a stop up against a wall and remained unmoving. Then Miu dropped on top of him, her eyes glazed over with death and her mouth wide open.
The fuck, Miu?
Felix got out as her head bent down toward his face. Her hands clawed at his body armor as she forced her head closer and closer. Felix's hands pressed to her throat and forehead to keep her back.
Damn me, it's like she's a zombie!
Miu's teeth clicked together once as she got within an inch or two of Felix's face.
Holy crap, she really is a zombie. Al said it's the end of the world.
Her right hand grabbed hold of his shoulder and pinned him firmly to the ground. Her left hand came up and grabbed at his forearm.
Miu, stop! Miu, listen, it's Felix! Felix! Miu!
Felix shouted in her face.
Miu, Miki, stop!
The zombie who had once been Miu stopped pushing closer, her head slowly tilted to one side, her eyes focusing on him ever so slightly.
Miu, it's me, Felix. You're Miu Miki. You're mine, remember? You gave everything to me. That includes when you're dead. You gave me your soul, remember?
Felix asked, unable to move her at all, still struggling with her casual strength. Miu's mouth slowly closed, her head slowly tilting back the other way.
Come on, Miu, wake up. You're mine. I need you, okay? I need you. Wake up already,
Felix shouted. Her left hand closed around his forearm, her fingers feeling like clamps. Miu's head shot forward the last 2 inches, her forehead pressing to his. She wasn't breathing, and her skin felt hard and cold. Risking a glance at Faith, Felix realized she was still unmoving. She was dead or unconscious. Felix gave up and slumped to the ground. Everyone had warned him he'd come to a bad end with the Yandere known as Miu.
Left me,
came a hissing voice from between her teeth. Blinking, Felix realized there was something of her left in there.
No, I came back for you. Look at your left hand. You're missing 2 fingers, not one. The second one is in my pocket. I came for you. Just you, Felix said. I have your photo as well.
Zombie Miu didn't move for several seconds. Then she moved back from him, her eyes slowly focused in on her hand on his forearm. Her fingers flexed, the missing 2 becoming obvious.
Look, Felix said, letting go of her shoulder and reaching into his vest pocket.
He fished out her picture with 2 fingers and held it up to face her.
I took it because it seemed like it was important to you. I came for you, Miu.
Looking at the back of the photo, he saw the words, "My love," written there in pen. Miu's eyes were locked on the photo.
Came for me,
Miu wheezed. Then there was a slow, hissing noise as it seemed like she was forcing air into her deflated lungs.
Huh, can't talk without air, right? I guess that makes sense.
Felix was mildly perturbed by the detached thought.
Yes, Miu, I came for you. Because I need you. And I need you now, Felix said.
Slowly, he put the photo back into his vest pocket. She didn't seem as insane right now. Her eyes were focusing correctly, though belatedly.
Need me, Miu repeated. I need you. Now will you help me? We need to get back to Legion, Felix said. Love you,
Miu said suddenly, sighing. Felix reached up and put his hand behind her head. Pulling her down a bit, he pressed his forehead back to hers.
Love you too. Now get off me already, he said, patting the side of her head gently.
Miu's lips turned upward into a small smile and she shambled up to her feet. Her hands came down and lifted him up off the ground. He was covered in her blood and bodily fluids from the waist down. Looking over to Faith, he realized she was just now getting to a seated position. Blood was trickling down from her temple.
You?
Asked the dryad, looking very confused. The zombie turned its head toward Faith. Her body posture slowly changed the longer she looked at the dryad. Then she took a step toward her. Felix moved in front of Miu and put both hands on her face. Her eyes had just started to lose some of the little comprehension they'd held.
Miu, you must keep your eyes on me at all times, Felix commanded. If I give you an order, I need you to follow it and then immediately look back at me, okay?
Miu's eyes unendingly gazed into his.
Not if you understand me, Miu.
She nodded her head incrementally.
Good. Miu, something is trying to kill me. It's in the sewer. I'm going to drop grenades down there, and then I need you to go in and kill it for me, Felix said. Do you understand? Kill it. Save love,
Miu hissed.
Look at love. Yes, exactly right, Felix said.
Releasing her face, he moved to Faith, keeping eye contact with Miu.
Give me your grenades.
He heard the pop of items coming free, and then he had several grenades in his hands. Moving closer to the sewer entry, Felix looked down. He pulled the pin on the grenade, flipped the lever off, and rolled it into the sewer. Then he proceeded to do it twice more. He heard something snort in the sewer, immediately followed by explosives detonating, one after the other. Then all was silent. In a strange, shambling gait, Zombie Mew moved past and dove into the sewer. The muffled sounds of fighting came up from the bottom. Felix wasn't sure he wanted to go down there. Even if Mew seemed to be on their side, it seemed like she'd been moments away from killing him. Or eating him.
"That was Mew," Faith said.
"Yeah, she's a zombie now,"
Felix said, staring at the sky above. Snow had continued to fall in ever-increasing amounts.
"Doesn't that mean the soldier's uncle killed her zombies too? And they might be coming this way?"
Faith asked.
"Oh, that's a good point," Felix said.
Then a bright and fiery orange ring of flame opened in the sky over the center of the city. It was pitch black within the center, and out of it came a giant bulbous leg. It was followed by another, and finally, a waist. When the truly massive creature dropped out, the portal slowly shut above it. What it left behind was what Felix thought of as a giant frog-like monster with thousands of teeth he could see from here. It stood up, and Felix realized he'd underestimated its size.
"Oh, shit,"
Faith said, looking at the same thing. Not far away, a black portal started to open in the wall of a building.
"Right, okay, yeah, time to go."
Moving to the sewer, Felix got his legs in, grabbed the side rails of the ladder, and slid down. He'd seen Andrea do it over and over, and he'd never tried it. But the idea of standing above on the street seemed worse. Hitting the bottom, his boot heels cracked against the slimy concrete. He moved to the side quickly so Faith could join them, then scanned the area. A massive, black-skinned monster lay not far away, with gaping wounds in its flesh from the grenades. Its head had also been torn from its shoulders. Apparently, Mew had practically landed on it and set to work making sure it was dead. Mew wasn't far away, though her spine had been severed. The lower half of her body was wedged under the creature, one of her legs clutched in its clawed hand. She was little more than a torso now, having lost everything below her navel. And she was crawling towards him, her eyes only on him.
"Damn it, Mew."
Moving over to her, he scooped her up and flung her around his shoulders like a backpack.
"Hold on, Mew,"
Felix said, patting one of her cold hands. Faith clacked to the concrete in the same way he had, her eyes wide.
"There's a fireball heading for the city,"
she said, then turned and sprinted for the staircase that led into the rail system.
"What?"
Felix called after her. He could feel Mew's cold face against his neck, bobbing against his skin as he chased after Faith.
"It was a giant ball of flame, huge, heading for the center of the city."
Faith jammed her ringed hand to the railway security door. The door slid open and they hurried inside.
"We need to get to the train and contact everyone," Felix said.
The security door slid shut behind them, and then the entire world shook and rumbled. Felix wedged himself up into the corner of the stairwell, reaching out and grabbing Faith by the hair. He dragged her up the stairwell and pressed her against the wall next to him. The world continued to tremble, and the lighting from the rail system flickered several times. Then it went out. Making it down the staircase in the dark had been a trying time. There was no way to validate that the step below was still there without stepping on it. Still, they'd managed to reach the bottom without incident. Mew remained a mostly inert backpack. She didn't move, breathe, or say anything.
"Will it work?"
Faith asked as she got into the train's first passenger seat.
"Yeah, it's powered by the engine, remember? It runs off a power source she made specific for this. It'll last for a very long while," Felix said, getting on the train.
As gently as he could, he pulled Mew from his shoulders and set her torso down in the corner of the engine cabin. He braced her up against the wall by pushing a heavy ammo can in front of her.
"Sorry, Mew. Best I can do for now." You all right? He asked,
looking down at the zombified woman. She nodded her head a fraction, her eyes glued to him. As soon as it felt like everything was secured, Felix sat down in the engineer's seat and sighed. Then he lifted his head to the ceiling of the rail tunnel.
Runner! Runner Norwood! This is a clusterfuck!
Felix shouted at nothing.
I could use a hand right now, because this feels a lot like people interfering in ways you wouldn't approve of.
Felix waited, growling. Except nothing happened.
Runner!
Felix screamed at the top of his lungs. There was no response. Nothing.
Are you all right?
Faith asked.
Runner is the name of the god of this entire world. The god of gods. I've met him a few times,
Felix said, sinking into his seat.
I was hoping that, well, he could intervene.
It would seem he cannot hear you.
Shaking his head, Felix pressed the starter for the train and waited as it powered to life. The screen flickered twice, and then alerts began flooding into his system notification window.
What the?
Felix watched as hundreds of red exclamation points showed up in the middle of the railway system.
There's been a breach. A big one.
A breach? The fireball, maybe?
Faith asked.
That'd be my guess. I didn't think it would penetrate that deeply, but apparently it did. Let's see where...
Oh. Felix frowned at the screen and continued to flip through the windows available to him. The information wasn't changing, however. It seemed to be exactly what was presented.
Oh, what?
Faith pressed.
Everyone evacuated into the tunnels. Everyone. They're all heading to the closest train tunnel to Legion. The safe houses that could reach the rails. Jessica, Erica, Goldie, Edith, everyone. Literally everyone is in the tunnels, Felix said.
If they did that without an order from you, that means they're seeing something we're not. What would that be?
Felix didn't know. The only thing they could access that he couldn't was the cameras. Tapping into the communication system, he pulled up one of the trains. It was marked as the one Edith would have access to, and the one Goldie was apparently on. He could see it slowly moving forward down the track toward Legion HQ.
This is Felix to Train 2. Come in, Train 2, Felix said as he held down the transmit button. Felix, where are you?
Edith just about shouted over the line.
I'm on the train. I found Miu, or what's left of her at least,
Felix said, looking down at the undead Miu. He gave her a small, sad smile. She didn't return it, of course, but she watched him as he'd ordered her to.
Now, I'm wondering... Get the fuck out of there! Get to the Legion HQ tunnel as quickly as you can,
Edith said.
Why? What's going on? I don't understand. The city is filled with undead and monsters and lots of things. Lots and lots,
Edith said.
There's so much wrong up there that I don't know what to do. There's also things in the dark. If you have lights, turn them on. Now! Turn them on as bright as they'll go. As many as you can.
Felix frowned and then flicked the switch for the lights on the train, moving it over to maximum illumination. Out ahead of him, creatures and things fled and howled as the headlights kicked on. Feeling an entire freakout building up inside him, Felix crushed it down as hard as he could. He didn't have time to lose his mind. His sanity was all he really had going for him. Looking over his shoulder, he made eye contact with Faith. She was looking back at him as wide-eyed as he felt.
If you have a light spell, I'd really appreciate you using it right now, Felix said.
Faith only nodded. Her hands held close to one another. She must have already been doing exactly that.
What else can you tell me?
Felix asked, pressing the transmit button.
Jessica and Talia are dead. I cut their thumbs off and got the finger from your bunker. Goldie told me about it.
Edith said.
What? How'd that happen?
A brilliant light burst out from Faith, lighting the tunnel in both directions.
A creature came out of the shadows and ate Talia. Jessica got split in half when she grabbed Talia's arm and got slapped away for it. Thankfully, she came away with the elf's arm and her own. I got the thumbs, got on the train, and left with Goldie. Seemed like it was time to go. I told everyone to hit the rails with lights and get to the Legion Tunnel ASAP.
Felix pulled the lever to get the train going and started pulling it around to head in the same direction Edith had stated. It was as good a plan as any. They'd be trapped, but they'd also limit the approach vector,
We're heading into a dead end, Faith said.
Yep.
With only one way in and one way out.
Yeah.
Unless the dome falls, it's very likely we'll die.
Definite possibility.
If the time comes, will you make love to me? I'd really like to not die a virgin,
Faith asked.
I'd like to feel a child growing in me too, at least once for both.
Felix didn't respond. He really didn't want to consider the end, nor the idea of trying to have sex as hordes of zombies were rushing down the tunnels.
You need to get your priorities straight, my lovely nymph.
Chapter 35. A Brief Glimpse. They'd been hunkered down at the end of the tunnel for 6 days now. A number of legionnaires had joined them, along with Edith, Erica, and Goldie. In her infinite wisdom, the dragon had hauled some crates into the train while recovering. She'd figured if Felix was having them get a bunker ready, why not a train? To that end, she'd loaded a 5.56 round dispenser, a crate of battle rifles, a field-grade med lab, several machine guns, and a generator. Without her forethought, the defense of the tunnel wouldn't have lasted long. Felix was on a watch shift, staring down the tunnel with one of the mounted machine guns she'd brought. Down the train line, 10 or so zombies were shuffling around amongst the corpses there.
Might be time to clear them out, Goldie said, stepping up next to him.
Probably. I was waiting for one of them to start walking this way, Felix admitted, looking up from the weapon to the dragon.
She was still wearing a gauze eye patch, though the eye was clearly healing. The rest of the wounds she'd picked up had long since closed. Turning his gaze back to his zone of control, Felix sighed.
We can't stay here forever. The Dark Ones keep pushing closer every chance they get, Felix said.
The Dark Ones were the creatures that lived in the shadows. They came whenever there was a break in the light. If the generator had even the slightest hiccup, they were there. Thankfully, one of the Legionnaires had enough know-how to strip one of the train engines and attach it to the grid they'd jerry-rigged together. When the generator dipped for even a second, the train engine source picked up the slack.
True, though we do have the other train engine, so that'll buy us some time.
Felix couldn't argue her point. They'd cannibalized two trains and their cars, turning them into barricades, which meant they had an extra engine power source they weren't using right now. The same Legionnaire who had linked the other into the grid had put it in a secondary position with an on-off switch. A tremendous boom came from somewhere above them. Whatever had been going on in the city, it was still happening. The strength of the explosions must be considerable if they rattled even the Legion rails this far down.
They're getting louder and more frequent,
Goldie said, her eyes on the ceiling above them.
I worry and wonder, were the tunnels designed to take such abuse?
As do I. But that's neither here nor there, since we don't have a choice. That, and I have to be the rock to support everyone else.
Felix cleared his throat.
Center position. Opening fire to clear hostiles loitering nearby,
Felix declared loudly. The other machine gun positions acknowledged his statement. Felix lined his weapon on the zombies and pulled the trigger.
Rounds began spewing out the end of the big weapon, and he began to sweep it from one side to the other. He could see the zombies drop as they were practically cut in half. They toppled where they fell.
What was unnerving for Felix wasn't the zombies, though. It was the things just beyond the edge of the shadows that he could see with the flashes of the muzzle. They didn't go down easily, either. The machine guns could drop them, but it wasn't a sure thing that it had happened before the creatures turned and ran away. Letting go of the trigger when his ammo went empty, Felix stood and looked down the rail line. There were no zombies standing. Picking up a full ammo box from the pile nearby, he pulled the old one out and set it to one side. Goldie picked up the box, secured it under an arm, and walked toward the rear of the fortification, where it would be recycled through the arsenal and refilled. Giving his head a shake, Felix went through the process of getting his weapon back into action. Pulling the bolt back and letting the first round cycle, Felix got back into position. There was no change in the tunnel. Everything was the same, minus the zombies and some of his hearing. All he could hear now was ringing. It would fade in time, but he also knew it was a precursor to permanent hearing loss. So everyone was spending a few minutes a day with the field lab getting their hearing fixed.
Felix!
Someone shouted from behind him.
peering over his shoulder, he didn't see who was talking to him at first, because he was watching the bright red wall of light that was the back of their encampment flicker wildly.
Is it failing?
Then he looked at the speaker. It was Faith.
Faith, I need you to become a human beacon on the dome wall, Felix said, standing up. We haven't put any big lights or defenses facing that way.
Faith froze in her tracks for a second, then turned, ducked her head, and sprinted in the other direction when his words sank in. If there were creatures waiting on the other side of the dome wall, the camp could be destroyed outright. There was some light, sure, but not much. They'd figured out early that the creatures could cross the dome, but not without catching fire.
That's an oversight on my part. I don't think anyone actually expected the dome to fall.
A legionnaire on backup hurried over to Felix and took over his position without a word. Felix patted the man on the shoulder and hurried toward the back of the camp. Stopping for a second to pick up his Miu backpack, he hoisted her over his shoulder. She'd become almost unresponsive by this point. Her eyes followed him wherever he went, but little else. She didn't even hold on to him anymore as she had originally, forcing him to stuff her into a rucksack after putting her lower body into a trash bag. He'd be damned if he left her behind, though. She'd given him her all and then some, zombie or not. Though thankfully, he'd long since become deadened to the smell of her. He caught up to Edith, who was talking with several other people.
Edith, Felix said, stepping in close to her, the dome is failing. I need everyone armed, armored, and ready to move. We're loading up on the train. Right now.
Edith blinked and then nodded.
Got it.
Swinging wide toward where the arsenal was, he saw Goldie. He moved at a jog to catch up to her and wrapped an arm around her waist, pulling her away.
I need you to start getting everyone on the train, Felix said to her. Make sure we don't leave anyone or anything we need behind, okay?
I understand, nestmate. I'll collect the fallen and make sure Erica is on board.
Goldie smiled at him.
Thank goodness she knows how I think.
Felix internally fretted at the fact that he was prioritizing certain people, but even he wasn't above a certain amount of favoritism. Letting go of the gold dragon, he moved to the train engine. He sat down in the driver's seat and booted the system up. While he waited for it to load, he pulled Miu's pack off his back and set her down in the corner.
You okay, Miu? He asked, glancing at her.
There was no response, but her eyes continued to track him.
We'll get you fixed up soon. Then we'll go get something to eat or something, Felix said, looking back to the display.
The entire rail system was flooded with undead now. Undead, dark creatures, and monsters. The interface had been pointless after that, since it was all warning messages. The fireball had ended up being a meteor, one that had impacted the city and torn a hole into the earth, which went straight into a rail exchange point. People had begun entering after words spread that it might be an escape, which led to thousands of people dying in the tunnels to the dark beasts. Switching to the radio interface, Felix immediately called up the Legion HQ frequency and dialed into it. There was nothing but static. Looking up to the dome wall, Felix caught it just as it flickered again, fading to almost nothing and growing bright again. Behind him, he could hear people clambering into their seats. Everyone getting in their assigned positions. Some would be wedged between the seats, and others between the low walls and the seats. There would be little to no room for anyone. This was the last train out of hell, so to speak. There wouldn't be a second trip. Felix stared at the shining red wall. The intensity of his gaze would have blown a hole through concrete. Then, the evil red light began to fade again. Faith stepped up to his left side and put a hand out in front of herself. A bright beam of light shot out from her palm in a cone, illuminating the dark beyond the red light. Squeals and shrieks could be heard. They were there after all. Goldie stepped up to his right side, Miu now shouldered on her back, the zombie's gaze still locked on Felix. Diminishing by the second, the glow of the dome faded away. Finally, it vanished into nothing. Felix sat there, waiting. After four breaths, he pushed the train into gear, and they got rolling. They passed from their camp into the Legion tunnels, heading straight to HQ. Glancing over his shoulder, Felix watched as their well-lit home grew more and more distant.
Looking forward to the path ahead, they rode on. As they got closer to Legion HQ, the radio frequency it was broadcasting out of slowly came to life. First, it was little more than clicks and whistles, but it was more than just static. Now, though, it was a looped message.
"Full evacuation protocol, A01, said Kit on the recording,
followed by 10 seconds of silence, only to then repeat. Pulling into the lower receiving yard of Legion HQ, Felix was at a bit of a loss. The bay was in shambles. Signs of violence were everywhere. Shell casings, scorch marks, and corpses strewn about.
"Everyone out," Felix called as the train came to a full stop. "Evacuation protocol is engaged, A01. That means everyone is heading for the emergency portal to Legion Prime. If it's not in Legion colors, shoot it. If it is in Legion colors, do a verbal challenge and then shoot."
Felix stood up and took Mew from Goldie, swinging her pack into place on his back. Edith was marshaling their forces, getting them off the train and into formation. As he got down from the engine, Felix wasn't sure what was waiting for them. Erica joined him, holding a rifle out to him.
"You doing all right?" Felix asked, taking the weapon from her. He turned it over, pulled the bolt back, and flipped the safety off.
"Yeah, I miss Jess, but yeah, you have her..."
Erica's voice trailed off. "Yes, I have her. We'll see her back soon enough. Just have to get to Legion Prime," Felix said.
Edith came over and sighed.
"Well, at least it isn't far. We just have to get through the lab and the choke point," Edith said.
"True enough. For now, I'm going to see if there's anyone here," Felix said, walking toward the bay exit doors.
Legionnaires were going about their business, clearing and marking the area. Stopping in front of the panel next to the door, Felix pressed his ring into the security plate. With a chime, the computer display turned on. As quickly as he could, he moved to the communications part of the system and then tapped into it. There were 4 signals he could see. They were all in the portal evacuation room. Felix tried to call any of the signals up but failed. Either they had their radios off or the portal was causing interference.
It's done that before, but not normally.
"Looks like the portal room is being held, possibly by Legion forces," Felix said, looking to the women around him.
"Right. Then we push on in and get out of this hellhole," Edith said. "I'll go get the troops and tell them to stack up and get ready to move."
Nodding at that, Felix waited beside the door. He wasn't about to go charging in.
"You think it's our people?"
Faith asked. "They didn't respond," Felix said honestly. "So either they're there but can't be hailed, or it's a bunch of wardens that weren't deactivated." Goldie nodded and then made eye contact with him.
"You should remain behind me at all times then," she said.
"Yeah, got it." Edith tapped the door button to open and the Legionnaires moved into the hall beyond the bay. Immediately, there was gunfire. It didn't sound like there was any return fire, though.
Zombies, I guess. Or dark beasts.
Taking in a slow breath, Felix moved into the middle of the column as it went by. Faith, Erica, Edith, and Goldie moved with him, stepping over corpses of soldiers that confirmed his thoughts about zombies. Felix kept moving. As they walked, sounds came from inside the rooms around them, but nothing that seemed living. Slowly, they crept past the darkened lab. It looked like a fire had swept through it, followed by enough explosives to knock out a building.
"Do you think Felicia did it?"
Erica asked. "Probably. She was always very protective of our tech," Felix said.
Coming to a stop at the entryway to the evacuation point, the column didn't move any further. The Legionnaire in front of him turned to face him.
"Door's locked. Should we proceed?"
asked the man.
"Yeah, pop it open. But don't enter. Tell whoever's up there to see if anyone responds instead. They're probably just as jumpy as we are," Felix commanded.
Turning back to the front, the Legionnaire passed the message up.
"I suppose this is it,"
Goldie said.
"Don't jinx it,"
Felix and Faith said at the same time. Looking ahead as best he could, Felix was able to see the moment the door slid open, but he couldn't see what was going on beyond that. A minute passed, and then suddenly, the column moved forward. Felix felt like his heart was about to race out of his throat. Turning the corner, Felix saw four of the newest wardens standing guard over a swirling portal. On the other side of the portal, he could see numerous legionnaires waiting from behind defensive positions. Before he could get through it, Kit, Felicity, Andrea Prime, Adriana Prime, Lily, and Vince all stepped through. They moved to one side and immediately spotted him. Breaking away from the column, Felix moved to join the others. Smiling as he went to them, Felix felt relieved. A loud hissing crack boomed through the air. Across the bay, a massive orange portal sprang into life. At the same time, the portal to Legion Prime winked out. On the other side of the orange portal was an empty backlot. In the distance, Felix could see a billboard with a man drinking what looked like a sports drink. Beyond the backlot, he saw a number of people quickly moving their way.
"I can't close it," Kit said, her hand flicking out at the portal repeatedly.
"I can't either," Felicity said.
"Damn it,"
Lily swore.
"I can solve it,"
Kit said suddenly, her head turning to Lily. The magician winced and looked at the portal.
"Yeah, I can,"
Lily said aloud.
"Can what?" Felix asked, getting closer to them. "How can you solve it?"
Lily turned to him and gave him a deep kiss.
"I love you, Felix,"
she said.
"Don't give up."
Kit typed something into a wrist communicator quickly, then looked to the portal.
"Ready when you are,"
Kit said.
"Wait, ready for what?" Felix asked.
Lily took a step away from Felix and sprinted for the portal.
"Lily!"
Felix called after her. Then he started to chase, only to feel something wrap up around his ankles. Glancing down, he saw an illusionary metal band encasing his feet. Kit was a few steps behind Lily as they both ran through the portal. Felix saw them standing there, completely at a loss. Lily clapped her hands together, and a purple shield of magical force expanded around them. Almost at the same time, weapon fire started to impact the shield. Kit wasn't idle during all this. She gestured at the portal and then looked to Lily, who nodded. A portal appeared beneath their feet, and the two women vanished through it. The portal closed up behind them, and they were gone. Soldiers in uniforms swarmed up to the portal from around the other sides. Then they stopped, staring at Felix and his people. One man lifted a hand and slowly stepped through the portal. Except he didn't. He winked out of existence as he walked through.
"She made a portal in front of the other one," Felicity said. "It's almost on top of it. They can't go through the portal to get here because she put one in front of it and locked them together."
"Where are they then? Did they portal back here?" Felix asked.
"No. She tried. I felt it, but it seemed to rebound off the dual portal and fizzled out. She opened a portal to the billboard, then again somewhere else from there,"
Felicity explained.
"What do you mean?" Felix asked.
His mouth was dry, and he felt lightheaded.
They went deeper into wherever that is,"
Felicity said. Numerous soldiers were milling around the portal, but they couldn't get through. Opening his mouth and then closing it, Felix didn't know what to do. His brain refused to work. A giant silhouette made of crackling static simply appeared beside the portal. The strange creature's hand flashed out, and an orb the size of a beach ball made of black and white flashing light zipped out toward Felix. With a boom, a woman came into existence 10 feet in front of him. She was tall, very tall, towering in front of Felix. She had an hourglass figure that would have come close to some of the dryad's figures he'd seen. Long blonde hair fell down her back and hung nearly to her hips. She backhanded the ball of energy to one side, and it flew off and down the hall. Her other hand flicked out, and a bright blue lightning bolt shot from it and blasted into the strange silhouette. Crumpling to the ground, the giant flickered and simply ceased to be.
"Sunshine," whispered a voice from Felix's right.
Felix's head whipped around, and there was Runner. Beside him were Al and Uncle. Looking back at the woman, Felix watched as she turned her head to face Runner.
"Darling,"
she said with a smile.
"I'm almost done, Mother,"
Al said, taking a step forward. The woman smiled at the child, then simply vanished. The spot where she had been was gone. When he looked back to his side, Runner, Al, and Uncle were gone as well.
"What
the fuck?
Felix asked, and then his world turned white.
It would seem I've once again failed your world.
Felix looked up and found Runner standing in front of him.
Bring Kit and Lily back, now! Felix shouted, quickly moving toward Runner.
Getting a hold of the Overgod, Felix leaned in close, feeling rage and unending fury in his veins.
I can't. That portal will never close, and that means I can't roll time backward. This world is what it is now. I can't fix it, said Runner. Though it is of little worth to you, I can promise you no other world will ever fail like this again. I know how we did it. I can stop it from ever happening again.
Felix lifted his hand and punched the god. Then he did it again, and again, and again. He wailed on Runner as if the Overgod were a punching bag. After what felt like an eternity of beating, Felix slumped to his knees, panting.
Believe me, I truly understand what you're going through. I'm not much different than you are, Runner said, kneeling down in front of Felix.
He was completely unharmed.
I can make you a promise, though. The favor I ask of you is to help me kill that man you saw. He's the god of the world on the other side of that portal. An overgod in his own right, I'm afraid. My goal is very simple. Kill him, take his world, and take back what's mine. The moment we do that, I can find Kit and Lily. Return them to you completely unharmed.
What good are you as a god if you can't even fight that devil?
Felix asked, his chin sinking down to his chest.
Never were truer words spoken. I give you my promise, though, Felix, that once I take back that world, I'll return them to you, just as you saw them today. I can't bring them back, but I did modify their souls before my enemy exerted full control over his world again, Runner said. I made them immortal. They can't die. We need only take back that world, and they'll return to you. Even he can't change what I did, or even find them.
Felix closed his eyes and shook his head.
By the way, that zombie you're carrying around is terrifying. The soul is still inside. It refused to leave. My collectors actually had to leave it alone, given how violently she responded. The magic holding the whole thing together should have failed, but it held on by force of will, Runner said. Absolutely terrifying.
Felix ignored the god. He didn't care. All he wanted in the end was to have a family and get out of all the business he kept putting Legion in. Except, when he'd thought of a family, his thoughts had included Lily and Kit. Now they were gone.
Epilogue.
Felix was sitting in his office. In front of him on his desk was a stack of very mundane-looking papers. Without warning, the door opened and Vince walked in.
Brother, Vince said, coming to stand next to the desk.
Brother,
Felix said, his voice feeling rusty and unused.
I brought the contract. I've already signed my part. Time for you to do yours.
Vince set down a packet of papers in front of Felix. The very top page read, The Legions of Yosemite Act. It was an agreement between Yosemite and Legion to become one unified body. Felix would oversee all government functions at the top. Yaris and Vince's progeny would act as the leaders to Yosemite. Felicity and Andrea were in charge of Legion on Legion Prime. The city leaders and feudal lords would roll up as they had previously. In essence, Felix had been made master over it all. Ruling at his side was Vince, the general. He was in control of all security and military. From the door guards to the general of the armies, it all rolled to Vince. There had been some personnel shuffling as well in the exchange. Two of the most notable in his mind were Iowana and Alicia. Iowana and her entire organization now reported to Petra. Alicia, a high elf who had served as chamberlain to Vince, was now Felix's. Only bodyguard departments remained as they had. Vince set his rough hand on Felix's shoulder.
I know, brother. If I could fix it myself, I would. But you heard the Overgod. It isn't a question of if, just when, Vince said. We'll storm across that portal and take them back.
Felix nodded. No matter how much he wanted to believe that, he knew it was still an if. They would always be waiting for him, but there was no guarantee he'd find them, save them. Shaking his head slightly, Felix tried to change his thought process. It had only been a week since he'd lost Lily and Kit. Everything still felt too raw. He'd more or less been secluded since then. Other than Vince, only Miu had been able to see him, and that was because the moment after he'd resurrected her, she'd refused to leave his side. He talked to Felicity on occasion through the door, but by and large, Felix was in voluntary seclusion. Picking up the quill nearby, Felix dipped it into his ink pot and then signed his name to the contract. The Lorens had drawn it up and made it into a Legion contract, so when Felix lifted the quill, suddenly all of Yosemite was part of what was his, including Vince, even.
"Thank you, brother. I appreciate this deeply. I've been wanting to step out of the limelight for a while. This will make it significantly easier to do so. For you as well, since you can focus on your piece of it," Vince said. "Will you come to dinner tonight? Melee would very much appreciate it."
Felix looked up at the younger man and gave him a tired smile.
"I'll see what I can do." "No promises," Felix said.
Vince picked up the packet and nodded.
"See you at the coronation, then. Yosemite does love its pomp at times."
Turning, the man left and closed the door behind him. Miu oozed out of the shadows from nearby. Ever since the zombification, she'd seemed less insane than she had previously. Or at least, Felix thought so.
"Love,"
she said, moving in close to him. She nuzzled him affectionately, pressing her face to his neck.
"He means well. You should go to dinner. Take Andrea, Adriana, or Felicity. They want to see you."
Reaching up, he gently patted her on the back of her head.
"Not like you to tell me to see other women," Felix murmured.
"You're hurting. A lot. You won't even see Andrea or Adriana at all. That's not normal,"
Miu said.
"You always sought comfort in those two. Or Felicity. You won't see anyone."
"I'm seeing you, aren't I?"
"Only because I threatened to kill everyone if you wouldn't."
Felix snorted at that. She had threatened him with that. He didn't quite believe her when she said it, but he wasn't going to risk it either. Spending points on avoidable deaths seemed a bad idea.
"Will you please at least see Andrea? I grow tired of hearing her cry at night,"
Miu said. Felix winced at that, his heart shuddering inside of him. She was the last person he wanted to hurt or harm.
"Miu is right. I'll go see her and Adriana immediately," Felix said, and then stood up.
Miu smiled at him and nodded her head sharply. Following that line of thought, Felix immediately started to flesh out plans. He'd need a crash course on Yosemite, as well as starting the transfer work for everyone leaving and coming at the same time. On top of that, he needed to get with Felicity and start arranging everything accordingly. Legion was going to grow and shrink. "Right after I see Felicity, Faith, and Goldie, that is, I need to arrange a meeting and start getting everyone moving in the right direction. Rewards and awards to all those who performed above and beyond the call in the battle. Then I need to set up some one-on-one time with those we picked up in the transfer. I imagine there'll be a lot of tribal knowledge we'll need to learn."
"Goldie is outside the door. She never left,"
Miu said. Felix sighed and ran a hand through his hair. It felt oily. Then he brushed his hand over his jaw.
"Need a shave, too. Let her in. I'm gonna go take a shower and shave real quick," Felix said, and he went to his private bathroom.
By the time he'd gotten out of the shower and shaved, someone had hung some casual clothes for him on the inside of the bathroom door.
Probably Goldie.
Getting dressed in the suggested clothes, Felix felt better. He still hurt. A lot. But he didn't feel like he was sitting in a pool of filth. Walking out into the main part of his bedroom, he found Faith, Goldie, and Chris waiting for him.
"Ladies," Felix said, then smiled at them. "My apologies. I've grieved for them, and I'm ready to rejoin the living."
Walking over to Chris, he wrapped his arms around her and gave her a tight hug.
"I understand I have you to thank for getting my inner circle out unharmed. Thank you, Chris."
The Black Dragon seemed uncomfortable, but she slowly put her arms around Felix in return. Then she turned her head slightly and kissed his cheek.
"Anything for you, nestmate,"
grumbled the Black, clearly unused to being given direct affection. Felix released her, then stood between Faith and Goldie.
"My loyal little dryad," Felix said, then turned to Goldie. "And my lovely dragon. Between the two of you, I had little to worry for or care about.
I cannot express how much I appreciate you, and I need you further.
Goldie turned a deep red and smiled at him, twisting imperceptibly from side to side.
Will you hug me as well?
Yes, right after I hug Faith, Felix said, and then he wrapped Faith up in a tight hug.
The dryad hugged him back just as forcefully, her hands pressed to the bottom of his lower back.
Any further south with those hands and she'd be getting a handful of... Oh, there she goes.
Smiling at the dryad's antics, Felix let go of her and then opened his arms to Goldie, who promptly kissed him deeply, smothering him in a bone-crushing hug. 10 seconds must have passed before she released him.
Oh, that was nice,
Goldie said, wiping a finger across her lips. Unable to even muster up the desire to reprimand her, because it had been nice, Felix only shook his head.
All right, come on. I decided on seeing Andrea and Adriana first. I think they're probably hurting as much as I am. After that, we need to see Felicity.
Good. They need you, nestmate,
Goldie said with a nod of her head. Leaving his own living quarters, he walked the short distance to Andrea and Adriana's shared rooms. They were right next to his own. Entering quietly, he closed the door with a soft click. Andrea Prime and Adriana Prime were sitting next to their pregnant seconds on a couch. All four of them looked up when he entered the room. Their eyes were red, their ears and tails limp.
Hello, my loves. First, Felix said before they could say anything, let me apologize for keeping you out during my grief. I didn't handle it very well. I should have realized you were equally hurting.
Felix went over to the four beastkin and got down on his knees in front of them. Before he could continue talking, all four of them moved in and pressed in close to him. The bawling and wailing started almost immediately. Listening to them and doing his best to give them each attention, Felix settled in. He figured it might be a while.
Are they settled?
Felicity asked as Felix entered his office. She was sitting at a desk set to one side of what was apparently his own. Must be hers.
Yeah, took some time. They cried themselves to exhaustion, then passed out.
All four of them, Felix said, feeling sheepish.
I've already taken care of a large number of personal tasks for you. A lot of the rest is personnel and management things. I thought it'd be best to leave those to you,
Felicity said. Felix nodded and went to his desk. Grabbing the chair there, he dragged it over to Felicity's side and let go. Then, he took the seat and edged even closer to her. Andrea had told him just how much Felicity had been doing in his absence and on his behalf, that she seemed to be running herself ragged for him. And yet, she'd still made time every day to check in on him frequently. He knew her feelings, and he was tired of running away from them. She eyed him warily, setting the quill in her hand down in its holder.
Thank you, Felix said simply, smiling at her. You've done everything I could have ever asked of you. You kept everything running when I fell apart. Without you, I don't think I could do this. This is going to be a lot bigger than just managing Legion.
Felicity gave him a beautiful smile and shifted around in her chair, facing him directly.
It won't be so bad. Between Alicia and myself, this will be rather easy. We just don't have your knack for knowing what to do with people,
Felicity said.
As for your thanks, you could always reward me.
Oh? And what would you want?
Dinner. Several times this week. You and me,
Felicity said immediately.
All right, though I think I'm going to take a number of people out for meals this week. Any chance I could get you to limit it to once per week for 4 weeks instead? Felix asked.
What? Just like that? You'll agree?
No reason not to, Felix said, and smiled sadly.
Ah, yes. I see.
Felicity's smile faltered.
Also, something came in your inbox. I needed something from the old Legion servers, so I had Talia sneak in. She's rather useful for stealthy needs, actually, and download all our data, then wipe the servers clean. I didn't read it past the first line once I realized what it was. I put it on your portable terminal. It's in your desk drawer. I'm going to go get some coffee. Can I get you something?
Felicity asked, standing up. Felix lifted his chin and met her eyes. He gave her a smile.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that later. Over dinner tonight, Felix said, resting his hands on her hips. Her eyes widened slightly, and then she gently ran her fingers through his hair.
You sure about that? One might worry they're just a replacement.
I'm sure about it, and no, not a replacement. Just me realizing something I already knew, Felix said, then shook his head with a chuckle. Now, are you going to go get the coffee, or should I keep flirting with you?
I don't know. I kind of like this right now, but I think you should read that letter,
Felicity said. She curled a finger around his ear and then tapped the tip of his nose.
You're a turd, dear, but I do love you.
Felicity pulled away from him and left the room. Moving his chair back to his desk, he opened the drawer and fished out the terminal. These were rather rare now. Most of their tech had been left behind in Legion HQ. Going there at all was a risk. Dark beasts, undead, ghosts, and all sorts of nasties were crawling around everywhere now. The portal area was the only permanently secured station. Flipping it over, Felix powered it up. There were two files. He focused on one that said, "Read me," and tapped it open. Felicity tended to be as direct as possible. He ignored the second file for now.
Dear Felix, if you're reading this, it means I did something stupid and probably heroic. I'll start by saying I'm not sorry. I was always a hero, first and foremost. It's who I am. Or was, possibly. What I will apologize for, though, is lying to you. I was afraid of pursuing a relationship, even though Lily had agreed to me joining your little open marriage a long time ago. I was afraid that if I agreed and admitted my love for you, I'd be trapped by it. I'd never be a hero again. Maybe it isn't fair that I'm waiting to do this in a letter to be sent after I've possibly died in a way I can't be retrieved from, but that's what it is. I'm a selfish coward. Sorry. All I can ask and say is to please live on and move forward. If you can bring me back, do so. We'll talk about this letter then. Maybe it's time I put up the hero title and become something new. You are the most interesting thing that ever happened to me, and it's been a ridiculous and wild ride. Yours alone, Kit. P.S. Lily loves you, and she said you should love freely. We'll find somewhere to hunker down. Bring a dryad who can sense magic. I'll leave a trail. Come get us.
Just had to have the last word, huh, Kit? Felix said, shaking his head with a smile. Though the last bit was interesting. He got the impression that Kit had added that just before they jumped through the portal. Leaning back in his chair, Felix thought on the situation.
Well, should probably start planning on how to storm through that portal, turn it into dust, and get them back, Felix said. First, though, drones. Satellite, maybe. Need to start recon. Can't save the princesses without knowing the lay of the land, even if it's years away.
Felix went to set the terminal down and then looked at the second file. When he opened it, a small window popped up first.
Who are the other two? Where did they go?
The note read. When Felix closed the note, there was a picture of Kevin Dane standing at what looked like a press conference. There was no sound, but Kevin was talking. Off to one side were three people.
Seville, Shirley, and Skipper,
Felix muttered, looking at the three of them. Then there was an explosion off camera. The three people Felix would love to see hurt looked surprised at something. Then they all pulled something out of their pockets. Felix leaned in close and squinted at the screen.
Are those the cards?
Felix asked. He had seen Seville use one just like that. At the same time, Shirley, Skipper, and Seville simply vanished. Frowning, Felix set the terminal down.
Skipper was in league with them all along. I should tell Runner.
This is the end of Super Sales on Superheroes. If you enjoyed this audiobook, find more just like it by visiting oddfans.com, the premier audiobook discovery service that brings tailored recommendations direct to your email. That's A-U-D, FANS.com. You have been listening to Super Sales on